OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, September 27th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Tech companies are paying huge sums for artificial intelligence technology and talent. But Google's deal to rehire Noam Shazier stands out. We'll tell you what's behind it and what it could mean for Google's AI ambitions. And then, China-linked hackers broke into a handful of U.S. internet service providers in recent months, according to people familiar with the matter. And it's just the latest intrusion by groups linked to Beijing. Our reporter Robert McMillan will join us to explain what they were after and why it's got U.S. officials so worried. We're starting with Google's pricey reunion with Noam Shazier. Shazier, one of Google's first few hundred employees, left the company in 2021 after the search giant refused to release a chatbot he developed. He founded an AI startup called Character AI, which allows users to create and interact with chatbots that can provide practical advice or mimic celebrities like Elon Musk and fictional characters like Percy Jackson. Character was valued at $1 billion in 2023, but looking for more funding this year, the startup reached a deal with Google. According to people with knowledge of the deal, the tech giant wrote a check for about $2.7 billion to license Character's technology, and Shazier agreed to work for Google again. Here to tell us more is our reporter Miles Krupa. Miles, tell us about this deal and what exactly Google is paying for.
Yeah, so it's not the first deal like this since the AI boom. Microsoft and Amazon have also done similar things where basically they go to one of these AI companies that's independent, that's trying to build its own technology, and they say, hey, you have some really talented people. You've also clearly put a lot of work into the technology. How about we license the technology and hire some of these talented executives? It's sort of viewed in Silicon Valley as a way of acquiring the companies without acquiring them, because we're now in this environment where the FTC and the DOJ are cracking down on big tech companies' acquisitions. So, you know, effectively, that's what Google did here with Noam. Is Noam wanted to do more research. He didn't want to stick with Character and see that company through its 10-year-plus journey. And so Google came to Noam and Character, and they worked out a deal where Google's paying Character about $2.7 billion, and Noam and about 30 other people agreed to join Google.
What has Noam Shazier said about his return?
He hasn't said much. He released a statement when the deal was announced, basically saying this deal sets up Character to continue as an independent company. What's been interesting is what people inside Google have been saying, and especially people like Sergey Brin, who, as far as we understand, was instrumental in bringing Noam back to the company. Sergey, at a conference recently, when asked about how Google is trying to sort of catch up in this AI race, just sort of brought up without any prompting that, by the way, Noam is back at Google, which just shows how important they view him to their whole AI strategy.
Miles, put this deal into context for us relative to other AI deals right now.
Yeah, you know, it's not uncommon for top AI talent to get employment contracts worth potentially $10 million, $20 million when you include stock options. And some of these other deals, like Microsoft and Amazon's deals, we understand that they paid licensing fees in the hundreds of millions of dollars. This is $2.7 billion. As part of that, Noam himself is getting hundreds of millions of dollars from his stock and Character, as we understand. So the scale here is slightly different. It really speaks to how important Google viewed Noam and some of these people who were coming over.
And do we know how Google's strategy might change now that he's returned?
Well, Noam is obsessed with scaling up these large language models, making them bigger and more capable. And that's something that Google's been doing, but Noam, just from talking to people who know him, is particularly creative in sort of the engineering work it takes to get these large language models to work in practice. You know, it's sort of a delicate dance getting from zero to one, building these sorts of technology systems from the ground up. And Gnome is particularly good at that messy middle of getting from zero to one.
All right, that was our reporter, Miles Krupa. Coming up, multiple hacking campaigns have broken into core U.S. infrastructure. We'll tell you who officials say is behind the cyber attacks after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. oracle.com/wallstreet.
Hacking campaign linked to the Chinese government has broken into a handful of U.S. internet service providers, people familiar with the matter say. The attack, which took place in recent months, hasn't been previously publicly disclosed, but U.S. officials have spoken about two similar attacks they disrupted this year. Here to tell us more is our reporter Robert McMillan. Bob, this latest attack is being called Salt Typhoon by investigators, and as I mentioned, it's not the first of its kind. What are investigators particularly concerned about with this hacking campaign?
There have been a couple of typhoons, actually, over the last few years. There's Volt Typhoon, which was an effort, you know, allegedly by the Chinese to build a botnet, largely on the back of consumer routers. And then there was, just last week, there was an announcement about Flax Typhoon, which was another botnet, which is, you know, these are networks of infected computers built on Internet of Things type devices. Now we got Salt Typhoon, and that looks like it's more at the sort of infrastructure level. People are very concerned that this campaign may have gone into sort of the core routers that are used to exchange information on the internet. And that's a very powerful position to be if you're a hacking adversary. There are a lot of things you can do when you're in the center of the internet that you couldn't do otherwise.
Tell us a little bit more about how intrusions like this work.
We don't actually know how the Salt Typhoon intrusion began. The details of what happened are still being worked out, quite honestly. But increasingly over the last few years, the Chinese in particular, but hackers in general have increasingly leveraged just regular old credentials, you know, your usernames and passwords. In the olden days, everyone was looking for what's called a zero day, like a previously unknown flaw that you can aim at a computer and that'll get you connected to it and get you onto that computer. The attacks of late have been, I guess, more pedestrian, you could call it. They look for easy to guess usernames and passwords, or they'll use password stealing software and just steal a bunch of passwords and usernames and then go from there to try and see if they can break into systems.
And you mentioned these other typhoons, Flax Typhoon and Volt Typhoon. Do we know how this latest one, Salt Typhoon, compares to these earlier breaches?
Well, these typhoon names they're invented by Microsoft, and they're basically, typhoon means that they think it's from China. With the Volt Typhoon campaign, there are a lot of concerns that that was about disrupting infrastructure and maybe a pre-positioning cyber event before some kind of attack. So if Taiwan got attacked, maybe the Volt Typhoon points of presence would be used to make it difficult for Taiwan and its allies to communicate and to effectively mount a response to an attack. The Flax and the Salt Typhoon, people are worried that these are like more about gathering information, intelligence collection. So slight difference between the two there.
Do we know any more about who might be behind this specific attack, Salt Typhoon?
People think this attack is out of China and related to intelligence collection. And the organization within China that would be most likely to be behind that would be the Chinese Ministry of State Security, which it has a sort of a hacking operation that's called APT-40 that's been linked to all kinds of cyber espionage activity for years now.
And what has China said about these attacks?
The spokesman for the Chinese embassy in Washington said that U.S. spy agencies and cybersecurity firms are, quote, secretly collaborating to piece together false evidence, blaming the Chinese government for cyber attacks against the U.S. China routinely denies these kinds of allegations.
All right, China has denied it, but what does the U.S. say China's motivation is for backing these kinds of hacks?
Traditionally, China has been accused of just stealing intellectual property. That was like the first big wave of China hacks, where people breaking into U.S. corporations, stealing IP that allowed Chinese competitors to clone products that were made in the United States and get a leg up competitively. Lately, there have been these concerns about China pre-positioning itself for kinetic cyber attacks. So being in a place where it could disrupt water or telecommunications or even energy or infrastructure, so that if there was some kind of war, that they would be in a good position to slow us down, like make it hard for us to respond to anything. This SALT typhoon attack is thought to be connected to intelligence collection.
How big of a threat have top officials within the Biden administration said this is?
The U.S. government has described some of these Chinese hacking operations as potentially life-threatening. So we're not in cyber war here, but in terms of the language coming from U.S. officials, it's pretty frightening.
That was our reporter, Robert McMillan. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. We had additional support this week from Trina Menino. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Catherine Millsop. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Scott Salloway and Chris Sinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
It takes more than just AI to prepare your business for the future. Your people need the skills to unleash its potential. Guild's learning and skilling solutions prepare your workforce for business transformation. Find out how at guild.com.